it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
All right, here we go. The Orioles back at Camden Yards. And, hey, the way things went on that road trip, that bloody road trip, good idea. Orioles are 13-3 this season at Camden Yards. That is the best home record in the Major League. So, yeah, good idea to be back home. By the way, the ball game tonight will not get started on time. Going to be in a rain delay. There's some weather coming in. In fact, it's raining as we speak ever so slightly. And the infield is covered. So the game tonight, the start of it, will be delayed. Stand by for more information. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Rocco Botko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Buck, a 1-6 road trip, 6 1-run losses. According to the game notes today, it's the first time that's happened with this club since 1955. Is there added frustration because they're one-run losses, or is there some sense of relief in that, okay, we were in every game, if we just got a break here or there or did something, we could have reversed that?
No, it's probably a little bit of both. It's not something we dwell on. In order to be successful in this, these jobs these players have and everybody, you've got to be able to turn the page on it. And you know, I'd like to say an L is an L, but and a W is a W. We've been winning a lot of those games, not only this year, but in the past. But, you know, our guys don't look at it as being a one-run loss. It's things get magnified that happen during the game that may have done something else. I tend to try to dwell on the positives and the things that keep us engaged in those games. You know, we went through a long period in April and part of May where our pitching was covering up for some of our guys not being on their track record offensively, and now that they've kind of reverted to that, and then the starting pitching especially and some of the bullpen guys have had some challenges, so hopefully we can start getting that, putting that together a little better.
And do you feel confident that can happen, that you look at some of these starters, Tillman on the mound tonight, what you've got from Bundy so far, knowing that Kevin Gausman's better than what he's shown, and the rotation can pull itself out of this kind of collective funk?
Well, people seek the level that they're capable of. It's just too long a season. And, you know, Chris is, while he's given us a chance to win, you know, I like I said earlier, you know, people pitch in the seventh inning at an all-time low in Major League history. And it's not something that's going on just here with our staff, but it's become a real challenge. But we need to do that in order to take some of the load off some guys. We're finally back to a conventional seven-man bullpen, which is big for us now. We knew that we were going to have to be after we got through April. And, you know, we're just trying to trust some track records and not try to get in any state of panic. So things are never as good as they seem or as down as they seem.
Overall, Tillman's numbers of two starts are pretty good. But do you look at this and say, okay, he's still got to work on that command?
Oh, without a doubt. And that's Captain Obvious with if I said that to Chris Tillman. He knows what it's supposed to look like and what it does. And, you know, Chris is he keeps us engaged in the game. He's very competitive. He'll look for different ways to go if things aren't all working. But it's fun to watch when he's got his command because he can really put together a good string of outings. But pitching in the major leagues, Rock, is real hard. I think a lot of people miss that. It's real hard. It's evidenced by a lot of struggles around baseball.
The Blue Jays in town now for three games. They started off slowly. Now they seem to gradually be kind of getting back into things here. Did you figure all along, even with that poor start, they were still going to be a team to be reckoned with?
Oh, that's a given, and they're just too talented, too many things in their favor, and you realize the ebb and flow of a season. That's why, you know, when they're down like we saw them earlier, you better take advantage of it, which we did because they're a very good club, and they're back to playing real good baseball and getting it from a lot of different areas.
Manny Machado wasn't in the lineup yesterday. You'd mentioned something with his finger. How's he now?
I just got through talking to him. He feels pretty good. Unless there's a setback, he'll play tonight. We're going to have to wait till we get through batting practice on two or three guys that we're waiting on.
What about Seth Smith? He fouled a ball off his face, which you don't see very often. I guess it hit the plate and came back up, and he ended up coming, or he would have come out of the game.
Well, that's where we are. Very much like Manny, we're going to wait till batting practice with his vision and making sure that he's – I know a lot of history on things like that with him. You talk to the player and talk to the trainers, and you know, I'm not going to put him out there unless I feel like he's going to be able to see real well, because that is pretty important in hitting.
Zach Britton, you mentioned that he was starting his throwing progression on flat ground. Do you have any updates on him?
You know, Rock, that's basically playing catch. First time that he's got a ball in his hand playing catch, and that's, you know, we know where this end game is going to be if he stays on schedule, and that's just the very first thing of getting headed down that road to get back to us.
And lastly, another update, Gabriel Ynoa, he was supposed to throw a bullpen. How's he doing?
Good, good. He's supposed to throw to a full bullpen tomorrow, and then probably some hitters on Monday, and then hopefully go out from there.
Thank you, Buck. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, Rock, thank you. And, well, the Orioles this season have gone 5-1 against the Blue Jays, but they caught them at a good time early in the season. Well, the Blue Jays got off to a 2-11 start, but they've gone 16-13 since that start. So these days, the Blue Jays are playing much better baseball. Buck Martinez, a one-time Oriole broadcaster, a one-time Blue Jay manager, and now a Blue Jay broadcaster on television. He will sit down with Dave Johnson, and they'll talk about the Blue Jays when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
I'm here with Buck Martinez, former Major League manager, and now does the TV for the Toronto Blue Jays, been doing them for a while now. And Buck, just kind of give us an idea. You know, clearly things didn't get off to the start that you guys probably expected to, but kind of catch us up on where you guys were and then kind of where you are up to date now.
Well, they had one of the worst Aprils in their franchise history, and I have a lot of theories on it personally, but I don't know how many people are going to listen to me, but I just don't think guys get ready to play anymore. I think when you look at the numbers in April, and then you see our guys in May, especially the hitters, how after they get 100 at-bats in April, all of a sudden the timing comes around and they catch up to the pitchers. But in this day and age, when I first started playing, I can remember playing against Brooksy and Frank and all those guys, they'd get 100, 125 at-bats in spring training, and then be, you know, they get 4 or 5 at-bats a day before they left, and the starters would pitch 9 innings a couple times before they left spring training. Well, now that's not part of it. Everybody is concerned about getting the players too tired, and they don't want to wear them out. Well, they're wearing them out with all the extra physical activity, and the Blue Jays got off to a terrible start. Then they had a couple of key injuries. They lost Sanchez and Happ, two of their starters, and then they start plugging in minor league pitchers, and all of a sudden things kind of get out of hand. But right now they're playing well. You know, they had they're hitting, I think they've hit 28 home runs in 17 games in the month of May, just like the Orioles, starting to swing the bats a little bit better. But I think, you know, now they're going to get a few players back. We just got Sanchez back, and he's going to pitch. And, you know, I think it's starting to look a little bit more like a big league ball club right now.
When you look at the depth that they've had to bring up from AAA, is that something that they thought that they had enough of, or do they run into, like, similar, I guess, to most teams where you always think you have enough, but you don't quite have enough? But how have some of those guys performed for you?
Well, you know what? I think there's probably 4 too many major league teams. There's just not enough talent to man all these major league clubs. And once you get past the major league starting staff, it's very difficult to have anybody come up and give you the kind of impact. We've gone through Casey Lawrence, who's now made a start last night for Seattle. We let him go. Matt Latos was with us. He made some starts. He's been let go. Now Mike Bolsinger is going to make a start here on Saturday. So you just keep cycling in these guys. And I just think because of the injuries and the lack of preparation and the guy's not pitching more than 6 innings, we just don't have enough seasoned pitchers to go around for the 30 teams in baseball.
Kind of give us an idea of where Sanchez stands at this point, you know, kind of what happened, you know, so far this year and then where he is now.
Yeah, Sanchez had some blister problems, and you know, as a pitcher, when you start getting a blister problem on that middle finger on your pitching hand, it really affects a lot of different things, and you start to alter your delivery and you worry about shoulder injuries and elbow injuries. But he will make his second start. And the blister is not a problem anymore. First time out, he still had a little bit of blood coming out from that blister, and he managed 5 innings. But I expect him to be pain-free and not worry about it tonight. You know, he's got some real tough outs in this lineup. He and Chris Davis don't see eye to eye. Chris wears him out, and he knows that. And I think in the spring, the first time Davis saw Sanchez, he had a home run against him. So he knows that this is a tough lineup for him. But I think he's over his medical issues, and I think he's going to get back to the form we saw last year when he was a terrific pitcher for the Blue Jays.
What about Marco Estrada? He's a guy that I love to watch pitch because he kind of very similar to me, obviously much better, has a terrific changeup. And that being the case, he throws that changeup so much, I still wonder why guys haven't caught up to it yet or sit back and wait for it. But tell me why. What makes him so good and so consistent?
Everything he throws looks like a cue ball. He throws everything with a four-seam grip. He throws his fastball with a four-seam grip, his changeup, his curveball's got a four-seam spin on it, and even his cutter is like that. So everything has a white blur to it, and I think that's what makes him so effective. His changeup doesn't sink. It just kind of stops. And that's what makes it effective. This year, he's given up, I believe, 5 home runs on a changeup. Tampa Bay's hit 4 of them. So they've got something on him, and I'm not sure what it is. But when you look at the last 2 years, nobody has hit him at all. He's got the best opponent's batting average for the last 2 seasons, and you know, better than Sale and Verlander and all the great pitchers. But Marco's a terrific pitcher, and I think he's really the essence and definition of pitching because he can mess with the hitter's mind.
You guys obviously don't have Edwin Encarnacion anymore. You guys, as you said, started hitting a little bit now, and whether they weren't ready coming out of spring training or not, but you have started to swing in the bat a little bit. So give us an idea offensively where you guys stand.
Well, Donaldson hasn't played since April 13th. Tulowitzki hasn't played since the 21st of April. And Russell Martin's been on the DL for the last 10 days. So those are 3 big bats in your lineup that aren't there. Tonight you're going to see Anthony Alford play in left field, up from Double-A. He's a former college quarterback. He played at Southern Mississippi. He was a freshman quarterback for them. Then he went and transferred to Ole Miss and played safety. So he's a terrific athlete. He's just now starting to play baseball, and he had a good season at Double-A. And last night we lost our center fielder, Daryl Siciliani. So he's going to come up and make his debut tonight, and he's a very good athlete. You know, I'm not going to put him in Bo Jackson's class, but he's a two-sport athlete that can run. He's got some power, and it's interesting. He's just 22 years old, so it's going to be an exciting game for him tonight.
All right, that's Buck Martinez with Dave Johnson as the Orioles and Blue Jays about to open a 3-game series at Camden Yards. The tarp has been removed, and we're told the game will get started at 7:30, so we'll have about a 25-minute rain delay. Oriole baseball is next. All right, hello again, baseball. In fact, good morning to you. Joe Angela, Dave Johnson back at Camden Yards in the win column tonight. They beat the Blue Jays, took 10 innings. And a couple of rain delays, but they win the ball game by a score of 5-3. About the highlights, well, the Orioles had the early lead in the second inning on a single by Trumbull, a hit batsman, Kim a single to load the bases for J.J. Hardy. And the 0-1 delivery, and he drives it into shallow right center. That's a base hit. Trumbull comes in, and another stop sign at third base. The ball back into the middle of the infield. Trumbull has scored. Hardy gets it done, and it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. Well, meanwhile, Chris Tillman allowed just 1 hit tonight, first 3 innings, but then came the fourth when he began the inning by hitting Bautista with a breaking ball. And then Morales, he got a walk, and Smoke came up to hit. Well, a big pitch right here, 2-1, here it comes. There's a shot to left by J.J., that's a base hit. Bautista is going to score to tie the game, the ball back into third. 1-1 game in the fourth inning. Smoke the other way, got the ball past Hardy. Well, the Blue Jays got 3 runs in that fourth inning, and Smoke got the single, and then Travis, RBI double, and then Goins a ground out, driving a run, and the Blue Jays had a 3-1 lead until the bottom of the sixth inning, when Trumbo, the leadoff hitter, he singled, and got on base for Wellington Castillo. Wellington 1-for-2, he's got a base hit, and the pitch. Castillo, fly ball, right center, pretty deep, Carrera backing up, at the wall, right mid, bye-bye! That ball gets out. And the game is tied in the sixth inning. Castillo hits one out, and we're starting over again. How about that, Dave Johnson? That's a home run that he took to the opposite field. And when he hit the ball, I did not think he had gotten enough. But somehow, Dave, that ball stayed up there.
It stayed up there, and it carried into not the deepest part of the ballpark, but it got to the corner out there where it was not a cheapie by any stretch of the imagination. And, Joe, you had actually mentioned during the game that the wind was kind of slightly blowing in from right field towards left field line, and that ball just seemed like it's not going to come down until it finally gets into the stands, and that's what happened.
Well, we had a feeling that it was, for Castillo, it was only a matter of time before the power began to show up.
And I've just really been surprised that he has the ability to go the other way with authority, as we saw in the first home run he hit. Clearly he can pull the ball. That was an absolute bomb that he hit to win the game tonight. But I've seen him serve the ball over the second baseman's head, and not in like a by-accident swing where he kind of pulled off of it and he kind of swung late and kind of flared it over there. He sticks his nose right in there on those pitches and will use the whole field. He's just been very impressive.
He really has been. That tied the game, and it stayed tied until the bottom of the 10th inning. After Michael Givens had gotten 3 outs in the top of the 10th inning, that's when the skies opened up. It began to rain real hard, and we got into a rain delay that lasted about 58 minutes. So that's how long we had to wait. And then came the bottom of the 10th inning. Machado against Jason Grilli struck out. Davis struck out, out number 2. And then Trumbo came up to hit, and he singled for the third time in the game. They gave Castillo a chance in that 10th inning. 3-3 game, bottom 10 at Camden Yards. Jason Grilli becomes the fifth Blue Jay to pitch here tonight. He delivers 1-2. Fly ball, left field, way back there, way back there. Ball game. Wellington Castillo, for the second time tonight, has connected for a two-run home run. And in the bottom of the 10th, Orioles back in the win column. I love that guy. We love that guy. He ended the game with what they now call these days a walk-off, a two-run home run. And so the Orioles take the first of three against the Blue Jays. We'll have Buck Showalter when we continue with the post-game show right after this. Right back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards after a sudden victory, after a couple of rain delays. Yeah, they won the game suddenly when Wellington Castillo hit that game-ending two-run home run, his second two-run home run of this game. Let's go to Buck Showalter on Masson after the game.
It was 5 hours from the supposed scheduled start.
Celtics ain't doing too good, are they? What we got? I know everybody's ready to go home. Not me.
It's like three-hit games.
What?
Three-hit games since he came off the DL. And how impressed are you by how he's just picked up?
No, yeah, Wellington's had a good track record of being a good offensive catcher, and he's done a good job for us defensively, obviously. But, no, it was big. Yeah, I looked up. It's funny, I looked up there. It doesn't feel like he's only, he had two home runs. It didn't feel like he had one home run coming in the game, does it? Just, he's a real tough-minded guy. He's got a certain mental toughness about him as you're around him. You really have an appreciation for.
What do you think of Tilly's?
Pardon?
What do you think of Tillman tonight?
Okay. I thought his stuff ticked up. Had a little better command of the curveball. Fastball. Thought he had a little more crispness to his fastball. He did what he needed to do. Got us through six innings. Gave us a chance to win. Just that part of the order and coming up through there and having Darren and Brad and Ash all rested. But he presented himself well. It was a step forward.
Sorry. You talked in Detroit after that long game about kind of being proud of the guys for enduring through some of that stuff. I mean, it's tonight kind of a similar game?
Yeah, it is endurance game. But people that do this, I thought to myself walking around the locker room during the rain delay, nobody was, it's what we do. It's if you want that prize at the end of the season, these are the type of things you go through. Sometimes it works out, but, you grind through these things, it shows up. But I think those type of situations, I always think that we're in good shape. Not necessarily an advantage. Other people have it, too. That's why they play at this level.
The bullpen really stepped up for you tonight.
Yeah.
How good was that for you to see?
Darren put a zero up there. It's a tough part of the order. We knew that part of the reason he came in. And, he managed the inning. Got a big strike out there to end the inning. And I thought Michael, it's good to see him get back out there. Brad was about as crisp as I've seen him all year. And Ash very quietly gave us a good inning.
You seem comfortable using Asher in any number of situations. Does that speak to just how much of an impression he's made since
you're... No, the thing about two things you know about Asher is he's he ain't scared. He's a competitive guy, and he's got a real good delivery that allows him to be pretty consistent. That's one thing that when we were looking at him, and actually his velocity ticked up a little bit out of the bullpen here lately, which sometimes you see. Still think he's got a chance to be a quality starter in the big leagues, too. But like his makeup, he's one of those guys you put your head on your pillow, usually, because he's going to compete. He's not going to wilt from the competition.
On another subject, what's the latest on Seth Smith?
Seth was available late. He went and hit and said he felt wasn't having any repercussions. So I think he's will be available to us, hopefully, if everything manages well overnight.
Well, do you think Brad is better suited to starting an inning than coming in late? Coming in with guys on base?
I think all relievers are, not just Brad. I mean, some guys are, you know, we've had Brad do that job for us in a lot of different situations. You know, he's been a real good relief pitcher for us for a long time. And like I said earlier, that's about as crisp stuff as he's had. You know, he's had some rest. We've been able to back off of him some, and it showed tonight. But I think Brad's just a good pitcher, period. Something I was going to say about Seth. Yeah, Seth and I talked before the game. I just didn't want him to start the game and have some issues and have to come out. I'd rather be able to have him as a bullet there to use late if he felt okay.
Yeah, that is the Skipper Buck Showalter after a dramatic 10th inning victory. Wellington Castillo with a second two-run home run tonight. The game winner, a walk-off home run. They beat the Blue Jays 5-3. 7:35 tomorrow night, Orioles and Blue Jays in Game 2 of this three-game series. Till then, Joe Angel for Dave Johnson and Kevin Zwicker. Thank you so much. Good morning to you in the win column tonight. They beat them in 10, beat the Blue Jays 5-3. This is the Orioles Radio Network.